Josie, you can kick it off for us, all right? How's that sound? You can just tell them who you, well, I already told them who you were. They just share exactly where you're at and what went on.
All righty. So I went to Mission Fuge, and one story that I like to share is on our way down there, my mom was driving the van and everything, and we went to Sheets, and we got our gas, and we're about to leave, but then she just stops, and I'm like, Mom, why are you stopping? And there was this truck, like, all Jesused out, right? And it has, like, John 3:16 on the wheels, okay? This thing, you had no question this guy was a man of faith. And he comes up to my mom, and he's like, hey, do you guys need some water? And we're like, oh, okay. She was like, oh, okay, thank you. And he just starts handing out water, and he's like, I can't help but notice your van, because, you know, we have Community Christian Fellowship right there. And he's like, where are you guys headed to? And we told him the camp and everything. And he's like, and he just told us his story. He was in prison, actually, and he found God in prison. And he's just, ever since he got out, he was, like, trying to, like, you know, preach the gospel and just go around. And so he drives in his truck, and he hands out water during the summer because it's really hot, and he just shares his faith. And I just thought that was something awesome, something amazing.
Good morning. So I went to both. I went to North Carolina, and I went to New York. I want to talk about New York. Going in, I was mainly just excited about the city. It's going to be huge. I've never been anywhere. I've just been in this little town and in this wonderful church, and but it was out of my comfort zone, so that's one thing. So I was excited and nervous, so when we got there, it was in, like, the high 90s. Let's just talk about that. It was very hot. and when we got in, it was a sign that said Juan 3:16. That made me laugh a little bit. So I knew I wasn't where I'm usually at. I knew everything was different. So as we're going around, we did get to go to many different places, and we got to talk to a lot of different people. One thing that we did is we went to Central Park, and we were able to talk to people and evangelize. Mainly one thing, we got to talk to many people. We talked to people who knew God and were happy that we were there. We talked to one woman, her name was Marie, and she was excited. She just kept saying, I'm so excited. Young people are coming up. These people, I don't even know who you are, and I love you so much. And she kind of reminded me of Pastor Nick. She's like, oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you. And we also ran into some other people who never heard of God, who didn't even speak English. One gentleman we ran into, it kind of moved my heart a little bit. He couldn't wear shoes. His feet were horribly messed up. And we just prayed for him. He needed prayer. He told us he needed prayer and he needed time and he needed to find a job, but he didn't have shoes, so it was very difficult to find a job. And everything there was different, but it was amazing. God just showed us what we needed, and being hot and being in a different place was just a part of it. Being able to speak to all these people and know their story and help them was incredible.
So I went to Mission Fuge, and it was a lot of fun. And we got there. There was a speaker, because there's always a speaker at those conferences. And I saw him, and his name was Stephen Dervon. He was really good. And one story that he told was he had a young daughter, and she was going. And he told her not to go near the pool because they were at a friend's house, and she went near the pool, and she actually ended up falling in, and she was crying out for help, like, Dad, help me. I think that put things in perspective for me watching them. The kids there was we're just so blessed because we're crying out for help for God every day because we just need his help. And that's how we look because we're just that little kid. But if we have the faith and we have the strength to always pull forward, we will fall down, but we'll always get back up. And that just really put things in perspective for me. And we went to this place called the YMCA, and there was this little kid named LaRon, and he was just, he was very happy and content, and he was just telling me he doesn't live in a very fortunate home in a very nice place. And so I was just like, we're just so blessed, and we take those things for granted every day, even walking. So I just thought that was really great for me.
Well, I went to Mission Fuge, and it was really fun. I mean, we got to go to the YMCA camps, and I met this one guy named Deshaun, whatever, and he had a really weird name. That's all I can say. But he said he hasn't met his family in 4 years because they had to, I don't know what happened. He just said he hasn't met his family. So me and Kobe started praying for him and so we could see his family again. He said he's been living with his grandma and grandpa for the past 4 years, and we just wanted to see his family. And it was just a wonderful time going there. I mean, I was just so blessed to be there.
I also went to Mission Fuge, and I mean, it was an amazing experience. I mean, we all bonded as a church group and a youth group. And one thing that really hit me is when we went to the YMCA, I mean, the kids, they were just all so content and happy and just playing with everyone. And then, like, you realize, like, these are people who come from mostly unfortunate homes. And, I mean, it just makes you realize that you are so blessed and God blesses you every day. And, I mean, you just have so much stuff, and we all usually take that for granted. So, yeah.
Hi, I went to Fuge as well. And one thing that was just so, like, touching was the speaker that was there. He was just so great, and, like, he was just really relatable in the way that he read things. And I have my little notebook with me. He said a lot of really good things that really hit me. We studied the book of James, which really just hit on, like, we need to stop just listening to the word and really act on it. And he said, be a doer. You can't just go through your life only listening to the word and not acting upon the word. You'll only be deceiving yourself. And he just, like, I don't know, just the way that he, like, kept giving examples and stuff, it was just so great. And he said our actions are proof of Christ's work in our lives. It was just great. And also the bonding with everybody. Like, I never thought I'd get this close with the church, honestly. And, like, the bonding that I had was just excellent. And we had so many memories, and I don't know, it was great.
So I had a story, but Josie took it, and then I had another story, and then somebody else took it, and so now I don't really have a story. So I guess the best thing about Fuge was just that, yeah, well, that was taken too, but the speaker that was there, he just like inspire people, and it really gave us a chance to gather, grow, and go, and it was just a wonderful time there at Fuge, and I don't know what else to say, because all my stories were taken.
So I went to New York, and one of the things that I liked the best about it was when we went to this park with Times Square Church, and we passed out sandwiches and lemonade to people in the park, and they were, the homeless people were so thankful for the littlest of things, and it made me reflect on my life, how I'm complaining about a lot of things, and they're thankful for the smallest things, and yeah.
I went to Mission Fuge, and it was really fun, and I think it was a good experience with the kids. It was, they were really, like, fun and energetic, and the speaker was really good, and and I think that he actually had a lot of impact on a lot of people, and yeah.
So I got to go to New York, and when Caleb asked to share a story that impacted me the most, it was actually, I got to see Jesus every day, and I saw it in these students. As they've mentioned, it was hot. We were sleeping on cots in one big open room. It didn't have air conditioning. And we took some air conditioning units, but you had to shut them off during the day because they would have power outages. So it was not a plush kind of environment, but these kids never complained. And as Caleb put on the slides, we walked about 35 miles in 4 days. So we were out and about. We had kids with wraps on their legs, wraps on their ankles. We were really in some bad shape. But these kids kept going. But what impacted me the most is the way they shared Jesus. We went into, as they've mentioned, we went into Central Park. They were willing to talk to people. They weren't afraid. I mean, I saw God working through them where they would walk up to people and they would ask about their salvation. They would ask about what they needed prayer for. And they came out of their comfort zone. I mean, God worked through them. As we went and we delivered sandwiches to the homeless in the park, it was dark. The park was packed. And they just came out of their shell. I mean, you could just see God working. And to me, watching these kids do that was Jesus. But even bigger than that, well, not bigger than that, but a piece of that is they bonded like I've never seen. We had the guys in the group watching out for the girls. We were on the streets late at night. They would surround the girls and make sure they were taken care of. It was just so powerful to watch what Jesus did. We went to the church that David Wilkerson started, and that was amazing. But I started reading Cross and the Switchblade when I came back. I wanted to reread it because that's a book he wrote. And one thing he said in there is you have to pray specifically. And so I was challenged to pray for these youth specifically as they go back into their New Yorks, their schools. It's a tough environment for them. And so I challenge you all, too, to pray specifically for our students that what they felt in New York and Fuge doesn't leave them as they go back into their schools, that they can take Jesus with them there, and that they're bold and they're just aggressive about their faith. That's what I got out of the mission trip.
So I went to New York, and it was just a mind-blowing experience. You open, when you pray to God to give him your eyes, it's amazing how much hurt and all the stuff you need to really think of praying for. Like, it's incredible. But so since we handed food out to homeless, yesterday, actually, I was at a baseball game with my family, and I saw this homeless woman. We just got out of Chipotle, and I had my cup. And so knowing my knowledge from New York, I kind of felt more confident in giving my drink to this homeless woman. And it was just so cool seeing how God can just transform someone's heart in a matter of 5 days. So my moral of this story is that not everything we do at mission trips stays there. It really does branch out to other people, and we really do impact them.
You guys were the first time on a mission trip or at camp, you guys? Yeah, that's quite a few of them. So that's good, guys. We had a great time. Thank you so much, church, for supporting us. It was a great trip. We look forward to next summer to see where God is leading us. Thank you.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. I got bad news. They took all my stories, too. So I'm not really sure what we're going to do now. But so if we were going to take one thing from what we just heard right there, I would say contentment. So the lesson that we heard from the kids is being content. And so going out, reaching out into the community and helping other people, you see how much you really have. And we really have a lot. You know, sometimes we don't, but if you think about it, each of us has a lot. We have a lot to give. And by going and reaching out into the community like these kids did, we can really get that sense of contentment that I think God wants from each of us. So I want to talk about something which is first impressions, and that's what we're talking about today. We're actually going to be in Matthew 3, 13 for 17 if you want to go there, but I want to talk about first impressions first. And you all might not know it, but you're doing something to the kids who came up here and to me right now. You are thin slicing. Anybody ever heard of that? So I got a little scientific in this first impression, but thin slicing is taking a short period of time and making a first impression on a person or a group of people based on that thin moment of time. And so the interesting thing is that those impressions, scientifically now, last for a long time. Even though you take brief seconds of time and kind of make determinations about people, those impressions last for a long time. And I've got an interesting kind of analogy or story to go along with that. Our family loves Sonic, the restaurant. We don't know why anymore. Must have been a good impression that was put on us when we went to Sonic or saw Sonic, because the past two times we've been there, we've actually almost vomited by going there. I hope nobody from Sonic is in here that owns it, because no. But we had this impression about it. It lasts a long time. It may not be the reality. We thin-sliced Sonic. And where I'm going is I'm just trying to talk about the importance of first impressions. They can last a long time. I do want to start out with a saying I know everybody's heard of, and I'm going to be funny a little bit, I hope. Thank you. I think that was Jim. Jim, I need you to laugh at these, man. So, everybody's heard of, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. I think that term was coined by either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or any of these political folks that are coming up here. But, okay, now I'm going to go into my top five worst first church impressions. No, not of our church. These would be the ones you don't want to do if you're going to church. If you're a greeter, you definitely don't want to start out with, good morning. You shouldn't wear that. Or have tattoos. Or be a sinner. Okay, here's the next one. I got to come down for this one. Pardon me. You're in my seat. How about this first church impression? When your overhead projector keeps going out? Do we know about that one? How about forgetting someone's name? Oops, this could be me. Like our pastor. Where is Pastor Nate? Probably the worst first church impression that I could think of, starting out your sermon with jokes. Not good. Okay, so I got scientific again, and you'll have to forgive me, but I wanted to talk about, and this is like confidence or first impression 101 here. I found a list of first impressions that you make towards people, so if you want to write these down, go ahead. First one, adjust your attitude. People pick up attitude instantly. Before you turn to greet someone or enter the boardroom or step on stage to make a presentation, think about the situation and make a conscious choice about the attitude that you want to embody. So my attitude today was nervous. So I hope you're not picking that up. Straighten your posture. Status and power are non-verbally conveyed by height and space. Standing tall, putting your shoulders back, and holding your head straight are all signals of confidence and competence. Smile. A smile is an invitation, a sign of welcome. It says, I'm friendly. And gosh darn it, people like me. Make eye contact. Looking at someone's eyes transmits energy and indicates interest and openness. To improve your eye contact, make a practice of noticing the eye color of everyone you meet. That's going to be tough up here. Raise your eyebrows. Open your eyes slightly more than normal to simulate the eyebrow flash. Ooh. That is the universal signal of recognition and acknowledgement. Universal, I guess. So if you're traveling to Mars, eye flash. Eyebrow flash, I'm sorry. Shake hands. This is the quickest way to establish rapport. It is also the most effective. Research shows it takes an average of 3 hours of continuous interaction to develop the same level of rapport that you can get with a single handshake. I hope you guys don't have anything to do today. Lean in slightly. Leaning forward shows you're engaged and interested, but be respectful of the other person's space. That means in most business situations, staying about 2 feet away, which, as my wife reminded me, especially if it's a woman. She said, maybe a little more than two, huh? All right. So those are our first impressions, Liz. But I want to get into Matthew 3:13 through 17 now. And if you remember, we're talking about first impressions today. How important our first impressions are. I thought we could look at Jesus' first impression, and he had a lot of first impressions, but I want to cover this one. So in Matthew 3:13 through 17, if we read, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So what kind of first impressions can we take out of this verse about Jesus? How about in verse 13, initiative. Jesus willingly came to be baptized. Did Jesus need to be baptized? Jesus was not a sinner. Jesus was perfect. That brings us to the second point. Initiative was the first. The second is obedience. Jesus did not need to be baptized because he never sinned. So, Jesus is showing us obedience by doing something even though he didn't really have to. If we continue to go on in the verse, we see the continuation of obedience, because in verse 15, it actually says, Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Righteousness. That means being right. And I actually wanted to look this up because I wasn't sure, but it means to be approved of by God. When you're obedient, you're approved of by God. So Jesus was approved of by God. And you know, Jesus was obtaining all righteousness for humanity in his obedience. This begins to give us a picture of who Jesus really is. Jesus stood in the place of fallen man, just as he does today. So those are two items we can take out of this verse for ourselves. But what was the result of this? If you go to verse 17, I think you can see what the result is. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." God was pleased. That's the result of initiative and obedience. God was pleased with Jesus. What other first impressions can we take from this verse? There's really a lot of first impressions in here, and I'm not going to dive in. Those were the main points. I'm just going to mention a few others because I thought they were really interesting. These words that Jesus spoke, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." These are the first spoken words that Jesus had in the gospel, in Matthew. These are his first spoken words. So this is another first impression. How about this point of Jesus' life? They figure he was about 30 years old at this time. This was his first declaration of his public ministry. I mean, he knew he was the Son of God, but this is really the first time that we see in the Gospels that he's come out and really begun to grab on to his public ministry. That's another first impression. Another interesting item in here is that Jesus, we know Jesus is the source of living water. I think we've all heard that one place or another. If you look at what's going on here in the baptism, is derived from something called the mikveh. It's a Jewish purification ritual, but one of the important parts about the mikveh and the baptism was it had to be done by living water. And so we know Jesus is living water. What is living water? So living water is moving water, or water that's being created. So an underground spring, a river, say for instance the Jordan River that Jesus was being baptized in, that is the living water. Moving water that remains clean. It's thought to have life-giving properties. It cleanses, it purifies. And so this is a first impression that we get from this verse. Jesus is our living water. Okay. So from this, I just want to talk about what kind of impressions should we take from these verses? We're to be like Christ. What did we talk about? We talked about initiative. We need to willingly take steps to display a good first impression. Funny, Caleb asked me to help with this in its first impression, and I'm about the worst person you could have asked for first impression. Ask Melissa someday about my first impression on her. Wasn't good. Right, honey? talked to Brad about my first impressions in soccer. Those don't go well. How about any sporting activity? Some are better than others. Let's lay hands on Eric, please. Hurry, before he makes another first impression. But you know, the Lord, he's teaching us all, you know. We're all not there. And initiative and first impressions is something I need to work on and you need to work on. And I know the kids need to work on, but we can use the things that we heard from the kids to help us too. Being content, being loving in all situations, not getting yellow and red cards every single game. Initiative. Obedience. We also learned obedience. The Bible tells us to be like Jesus. We want to be Christ-like. What did we just see? What was Christ like? He was obedient, okay? He was perfect. He didn't have to be baptized. He did it to what? Fulfill all righteousness. So we need to be obedient. And it's hard. It's hard for us to do that. So, when you talk about some steps that we need to take, I'm going to go back to the funny list. We do need to adjust our attitude. we do need to straighten our posture, smile, raise our eyebrows, shake hands, lean in slightly, but we need to be Christ-like, okay? Let's do that one first, and we can do all the other ones. Then we'll be a good first impression. And if we do slip up, and this is important because you can repair a first impression if you get other chances. Second, third impression. We're still waiting on Sonic. I'm sure we'll go back. If we do slip up, be accountable. Be accountable when you slip up. Say you're sorry. Do we know how to do that anymore? Say you're sorry. Admit you're wrong. Make it right. We're not perfect, but we believe in a Savior who is perfect. We don't find perfection in ourselves. We have to go to our Savior to attain perfection. And I just want to say, the result, if we take care with our first impression, second impression, third impression, fourth impression, God will be pleased. Thank you. Amen.
I'd like to use this time as an extension of worship and ask that you would please stand. And this place here is an altar where you are welcome to come and pray. Thank you.
I was impressed. Sometimes it just takes a few words to stir up what's inside of us and what needs to be done. And when we allow God's servants to speak to us, sometimes we don't realize the power that's in just a few words. And I think that all of us learned a bit about impressions today. One of the impressions that we need to look at, what is our first impression of God? What's the first impression that we have of Him? Do we see Him as someone that is looking for us to make a mistake so He can jump on us and tell us how bad we are? Or are we impressed with the fact that we have to prove to Him who we are and how good we are? Do we have to make an impression on Him? These are some of the things we need to consider when you think about impressions. I can tell you the impression that God has of every one of you. I'm impressed with my child. I'm impressed with the potential that my child has. I'm impressed with what they can do when they take the initiative, when they do obedient things. And when you do that, look at the results that I'm going to give you. I'm for you. I'm really for you. If you mess up, I'm still for you. You're my kid. You're one of my heirs to the throne. So the impression that if you have an impression of God that is anything other than He's for you, you need to take a second impression. And that's what I was getting out of what we were hearing today. We need to look at our impression of God and realize that if we take the initiative to, you know, ask Him what He wants us to do, God, what can you be to me today? And we look at and we obey what He says. The results are going to be, this is my child in whom I'm well pleased. Everybody else, look here. Here's my child whom I am well pleased. And even if we can't get the courage to do that at that moment, He's still going to say, look at my child in whom I'm well pleased. That's how much He loves us. If you have any other impression of Him than that, then like I said, you need to change your impression. Thanks so much for what you said. On top of that, I need the address of that Sonic. And, you know, I didn't know there were any around here, but I need the address of that one. Okay, I want to make one little plug before we go, though, and that's for starting September the 13th, we're going to have a time of worship and prayer in the evenings here on Sunday evenings, and I want to invite everybody to that. It's not going to be really a structured thing. It's going to be mainly we're going to just present ourselves before the Lord and listen to what He has to say to us and what impressions He gives us. So I want to invite everybody to that. It's going to be an open time of just worshiping the Lord and praying. So let's pray now for a second and just, Father, thank You so much that You've brought us here today to hear that we can be impressed with You. What You did with the kids in New York is something that is impressive. The words that they had to say, the people that they touched. Some of them have been touched just by their gestures and their love. Some of them have been touched eternally. What an impression. So, Father, let us have the boldness to get out of our comfort zone, to take the initiative, to be obedient to what You're telling us to do, and to stand back and enjoy the results of Your Spirit and Your grace touching those who have not been touched, giving life to those who don't know what life really is. So, Father, we are so thankful that You've gifted everyone in this fellowship with a special gift. Enable us to use that, anoint those giftings, and help us, Father, to serve You, to just go out and spread Your kingdom, to do what You're doing and to join in with it. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name.